Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday evening. I forget the date. What the heck is today? September 19th.
Doesn't matter.
We're wrapped up with week three of college football, and we are back to talk about it. Myself, TJ Pittenger, Richie Barnes, back for another week. Richie, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm actually doing pretty good. It's been a great weekend. My wife's best friend from Chicago was in town, so we got to go out to brunch, hang out with her all day. You know, I'm glad I'm into the point of my life where I cannot let Florida State ruin my entire weekend. I had a phenomenal Sunday, so I don't know about you, but it's been a great day for me.
I've had a good weekend. Obviously, the game, we'll get into the game, but you know, the game yesterday wasn't a lot of fun, but you know, I'm to the point now where I can not let
what do we do here? Like, we just
I don't mean to go into this so far, but yeah, like I used to be that fan that like a bad game was, you know, it for me for the rest of the week. Like, I was just, and I've moved past that. I mean, some of that came with having kids, some of that came with the Willie Taggart era just beating me down and the end of the Jimbo era and things like that. But I feel good. I had a good weekend. I ran to we're closing on a house, I believe, on Friday.
And so yeah,
some big news there. So I ran up there a couple of times to meet a couple of contractors to have them give me some estimates and some quotes. We're actually closing on that house before we sell our house. Our house is sold, but the closing dates, we're closing on that one first. And so going to be able to get a lot of like renovation stuff done before we actually move in, so it'll kind of be moving ready. So that'll be good. There's like a 10-day gap. So yeah, did some of that. Watched some good college football yesterday. Also watched our game. Have watched NFL all day today. We went to church this morning, but we just kind of like hung out and chilled and didn't do a lot this weekend, which is great. And so yeah, good weekend. But there's the good part. We'll get into some bad stuff here in just a minute. But
I actually had a great day yesterday. You know, obviously, TJ, you know, you've met my wife, Lindsay. She's a big Bama fan. So we enjoyed the 3:30 games, like not the one that we played in. Yeah. Our Noles played. But granted, my goodness, it was closer than I would have liked for the Florida-Alabama game. But obviously, we're here to talk Florida State, Wake Forest. So let's just jump right into it, man.
Before we do, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you – we got to pay the bills. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations at 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe. Tell them that Double Fries No Slaw sent you. We need to do another giveaway with them. We gave away a cooler. Yeah. That was really, really cool, and no pun intended. But we need to do another giveaway with them. So I'm going to chat with them this week, see what we can come up with. But we bought a bunch of people free drinks and stuff. If you mentioned that Double Fries No Slaw sent you, they were doing, you know, you get a free drink. So let's do something else fun like that. I'll reach out to them this week and we'll get a giveaway going. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's again in Tallahassee. Visit both of those locations and drown your sorrows with a gut box. Sorry. So let's jump into the game. You know, do you want to take this? Do you want me to take this? How do you want to do this, man? Like, this is not fun either way.
I mean, it honestly was surprising to me how little effort, and I don't know, the team just did not look prepared to play. And, you know, we talked about last week how they clearly were not prepared. They were preparing for this game. And my question is, Mike Norvell, what are we doing if we spent all of last week preparing for Wake Forest, and then to see that was disgusting. Like 27 first downs to 16 first downs. You get outgained 484 to 317. 6 turnovers. My goodness. Just I was baffled watching this game. I was watching both this game and the Florida-Alabama game, but I was paying very close attention to our game, TJ, and I did not know what we were doing. And what pissed me off the most was right out of the gun. We knew Milton was starting. Then we go Travis right away. Like, pick a quarterback at this point. We can't do this back and forth. I know we need both quarterbacks to win some games, maybe one game this season, but pick one quarterback and ride with him. I was just so frustrated from the start. I don't know about you, TJ.
Yeah, we'll start there with the quarterbacks. I did not love the fact that I mean, okay, so let's back up just a little bit more. Florida State, I tweeted like at 11:30 the night before, it would be so great if Florida State could win the turnover battle. And the fourth play of the game, Florida State gets a turnover, somewhat lucky, but gets a turnover, has the ball in almost plus territory. First down play, when Florida State gets the ball back, a completion by Milton, 6 yards to get to the Wake Forest 44, and then Corbin runs for 7 yards, fumbles the ball. Okay, whatever. Like, good force fumble by Wake. A turnover for a turnover, whatever, right? I didn't even really care that Wake goes out and scores in three plays, right? Like, whatever. Wake was going to put up points. We talked with Les about that before everything kind of went down. What I didn't understand is why – I mean, Milton didn't do anything to be taken out of the game. Like, I don't know why they just immediately – why we immediately just went back to Travis at that point. Travis comes out. Three plays for -1 yards, and we immediately go back with Milton. And then Milton comes out, and then we immediately go back with Travis. And it did work, right? Like that fourth time, we did get a touchdown on that drive. But the back and forth, I mean, no rhythm, no continuity. Again, if Milton would have thrown a pick on that first drive and you took him out to put Travis in, like, that's one thing. But it really just seemed like, I mean, I didn't think Milton did anything that deserved to come out of the game at that point. Now, you say he shouldn't have started, or, you know, Jordan should have started or whatever, but just pick a guy and ride with him, you know? Like, I think, you know, giving a guy two plays and his running back fumbling the ball, I mean, again, it's not like Milton did anything wrong on that first drive. Just, I don't know, didn't love that. And so the back and forth, Travis goes in, gets a touchdown. We roll with him for a little while until he ends up getting hurt, and then ended up being Milton's game kind of for the rest of it. But by the time – And Florida State did do some things decently well yesterday, right? Like, down 24-7, you kind of felt like, oh, well, this is over. Scored a touchdown, got a goal line stand right after that to make it a two-score game at the half. But then after that, I mean, it was over, right? Like, totally, you know, went very quick possession in the to start the second half. And Wake scores to go up 21, and that's it. Nice drive. Actually, once Wake scored to go up 21, we did have a nice drive all the way down to the Wake 11. Ended up not being able to convert on a 4th-and-2. I don't know why. Again, you know.
Why are we not quarterback draw with a one-game quarterback?
I'm not here to fire Norvell or anything else. Like, wow. I'm not on that train just yet. But running with Milton there just didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. I understand the two plays before that. I mean, Corbin had run for 1 yard, and then Corbin had run for no game that gain the two plays before. So I'm okay not running with Corbin, right? Like, the same exact play three times in a row and expecting 2 yards on that 4th-and-2. But again, I just didn't love the. I mean, we got outplayed. They were more disciplined than us, and they were also coached better. I will say Florida State lost, and this is not to put lipstick on a pig. This is not to say that this game was closer than it seemed or anything like that. Florida State drove the ball down 21. Florida State drove the ball inside the Wake 10 twice, right? Or it got to the 11 on the one that we just talked about, that fourth down, forced a stop on defense, and then got back inside the one. First and goal from the one, and we fumbled into the end zone. You know, you'd like to think that you're a little bit better in the red zone, especially a little bit better inside the 1 yard line, but there's two drives in a row that if you put the ball into the end zone, then it's a 7-point game. Also, the defense forced another stop after that, right? So, you know, the defense kind of did what they needed to do in forcing three stops in a row or giving the offense the ball three times in a row. And so not that the game wasn't closer. Like, that's not the point that, we were inches away or any of that crap.
No.
But had their chances to kind of make it a game, make it competitive, and just couldn't do it. So I don't know. I totally understand switching quarterbacks in and out here and there when somebody looks a little hurt, which Travis certainly did at one point, but didn't love what we did with the quarterbacks yesterday. Didn't love the lack of discipline, the lack of concentration, fumbling the ball inside the 1 yard line, or play calling on a 4th-and-2 with, you know, one-legged Milton out there. I don't know. It was a head scratcher kind of from start to finish, and a game that Florida State was really never in.
Yeah, that's I think what to me is most frustrating, because watching the game, you never felt like Florida State was going to win. You know, there's, and I'm the eternal optimist. I picked us to beat Wake Forest, right? But I'm watching this game and I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, this is not going to happen for Florida State today. We don't have it, whatever it is. We don't have it. And it was frustrating because, like you mentioned, TJ, it was such an important game for Florida State, and to drop it the way we did is just so frustrating. And it stinks, man. And for Mike Norvell, you know, I'm a fan of Mike Norvell, but you can't defend this much longer, right? Like, he's now coached 12 games. And I think he could be the guy, but the problem in today's college football, will he get time? I don't know. I still think he's the guy, but I don't know if he's going to have the time.
What's tough is that Florida State, yeah, there's just a lot of factors. And yeah, let's back up to the game. What's tough is that I think that we all kind of said, like, man, I think the line is shockingly close. I think that, you know, maybe Vegas is trying to tell us something here.
I thought it was right.
Really, from the onset, Wake was just the better team. They were the better. They played better. They were coached better. They made less mistakes. I mean, how many times did Florida State end a drive defensively and then get a penalty, whether it was a roughing the punter or a late hit out of bounds or just a terrible dead ball penalty to kind of extend drive? So it was really on both sides of the ball. Like, it was not just, you know, wasn't just the offense. I mean, it was the defense, it was the special teams, it was the coaching. I mean, it was a complete, yeah, the whole team chipped in on this loss. So, yeah, brutal, brutal. We will, we'll talk about kind of a season outlook. We'll talk about more, you know, as the show goes on. But yeah, just from start to finish, you know, Florida State's got a lot to figure out. You know, I will say Wake is probably one of the more talented teams in the ACC that they'll play. Obviously, North Carolina, Clemson, Miami being on the higher end of that. But Wake is probably better than every other ACC team besides those three that I just mentioned. I really don't know that Miami's that good either. Wake may beat them. But Wake's probably better than Syracuse, probably better than Louisville, probably better than BC, probably better than NC State. So I will say that it does get a little easier for Florida State. They play three of those games at home, NC State, Louisville, and Syracuse, those last two coming up these next 2 weeks. The line came out today for Louisville, and Florida State's just a one-point dog at home. So Vegas, again, is telling you that that's a coin flip, right? Like, Florida State could very easily win that game. But again, what Florida State are you going to get? You're going to get the Florida State that played for the first two quarters and the fourth quarter against Notre Dame, or you're going to get the Florida State that played the last quarter against Jacksonville State or the whole game against Wake Forest, you know? I mean, so that, you know, I don't know. That's why it's a point, you know, let's say if you knew, we'd be a huge favorite.
That's what's so tough, because honestly, obviously 0-3, none of us want to be here, right? But at the same time, that Notre Dame game still happened. And I know, say what you want about Notre Dame, they're clearly not a top 10 team, but they're still a quality football team. And Florida State competed with them. So there's still a lot of games that Florida State can compete on the schedule, because let's be honest, the ACC does not look great. And we're going to talk about it with our guests coming up soon. Guys, we need Florida State fans in the stands at Doak. And this is going to be extremely important, because this Louisville game is we called Wake Forest a must win. This week is a must win. It's a home game against Louisville. Again, we're a 1-point dog. I think that flips before the game kicks off. I think Florida State probably ends up favored, just because you can't start 0-4, right?
I don't know. You got more confidence than me. I think the line probably ends up going the other way. Not to be super negative, but I just think that there aren't a lot of people that are buying FSU right now. So I think that it ends up being like Louisville, you know, by like a – I hope. Okay, so the old betting adage, you always take a home dog when it's like -3 or like +3. So like, I hope it gets to Louisville favored by 3. Like, that's my ultimate hope, is that – and then it's a sure win for us if that happens. So anyway, we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. We're going to add a couple of guests here to the show. Let's see if I can do this without messing anything up. David Plack and Chandler Wilson, FSU marching chief. David is the your title on your bio is much different than like the official FSU title that you're given, like the director of Wynn. And I'm just like, Richie, what's his title on his bio? So the director of athletic bands at Florida State. Can we just say the leader of the Marching Chiefs? Is that easier?
One of them. My partner on here, he and I share the responsibility of the Marching Chiefs. We each put a few different hats on. So
several.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. David Plack, Chandler Wilson, thank you guys for your time tonight and coming on and chatting with us. Kind of late notice, short notice. Richie reached out and we'd wanted to get you on. And then we're like, hey, let's get David on, because at least, you know, it'll make people happy.
I remember after
the weekend.
Like last year, after we had a couple bad losses, we had Mark Ziegler come on the podcast. Yeah. Like, we need some positivity. Yeah. And I feel like that's where we are now. Like, we need you, David, and you, Chandler. Let's bring some positivity and try and get some fans at Dope this weekend.
Yeah, I get that. We got to keep, you know, no pun intended, beating the drum, you know. It's what we got to do.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler and I have talked about this, you know, it's our job to keep beating the drum and, you know, and support the team through it all. And hopefully fans will, you know, follow our lead. That's kind of what we're hoping.
Yeah. So before we get into anything too serious, I will ask you guys this. Double Fries No Slaw, obviously an ode to Guthrie's there. So, before we even get into anything FSU, anything band related, like, are you guys both, you guys don't order the coleslaw there when you go there, right? Like, just give me the good news, right?
No. Okay. When he originally mentioned the podcast to me, I said, oh, that has to do something with Guthrie's. That's automatic.
Yeah. We,
double fries, no slaw. That's one place in particular.
Yeah. I've told everybody this, everybody listening, like, has probably heard it a million times, but they can hear it a million and one times. So everybody's podcast is like Spear or Tribe or Unconquered or just what, like, I don't know. And I love all those words, you know, but everything's just the same. And so we're just looking for something off the wall and crazy and different. And,
but that's what stood out. I remember when you all first launched, that's what I remember seeing that title and going, well, that's different. You know?
Yeah,
that's how it works, you know.
Yeah, like, you're never gonna forget that. Like, you know, what was the name of that podcast I was on? Like the What Cast or this or that? Like, oh, Double Fries No Slaw, because everybody orders it like that. So,
yes.
The other story I told a million times is I asked. You've probably heard of this, but I asked live on the air, and I went back and listened to that episode the other day. I asked Charlie Ward if he, you know, ever had Guthrie's or whatever. He's like, yeah, I've never had that. I'm a vegan. And I was just like, awesome. That I have nowhere to go. The good news about that is I'll never have that awkward of a conversation with anyone else on the air, like live. But like, imagine
asking the greatest. Like, okay, let's talk Florida State football.
Yeah. Like, all right, tell me about 93, Charlie. Like, I'm just like, what, you know, like, imagine asking the greatest athlete in your school's history. Like, he's like, I'm a vegan. And I was like, you weren't a vegan in the early 90s, though, bro. Like, come on.
You learned something new. I mean, that's what you all are doing. You're educating the masses on Charlie Ward, and he just happens to be a vegan.
Cool. Yeah.
Transitions.
Yeah. All right. Next subject, please. So, all right, David, talk to us a little bit about, and both of you, just, you know, talk to us about your role. I mean, like you guys said, you guys wear a bunch of different hats. Talk to us about the Chiefs in general, the different bands that are at different events and just things like, just kind of give us a high level overview of a lot of that stuff. Just,
yeah. Well, I mean, I'll kick it off and then I'll let Chandler talk. I mean, you know, for us, it's very simple. You know, we have, you know, for football, it's Marching Chiefs. Marching Chiefs is football pretty much only. And then we have a pep band. I know you all know this. It's called Seminole Sound. And that really is everything outside of football. We played, you know, obviously for women's volleyball, men's and women's basketball. We'll make appearances, honestly, you know, maybe for every sport on campus at least once. We've done tennis and track and softball and soccer. And, you know, so we do have, you know, we have a lot going on, but we have two bands essentially under the title of athletic bands, and one being Marching Chiefs. and the other being Seminole Sound, which encompasses, you know, we kind of call it an Olympic sport pep band. Chandler, do you want to add anything to that?
Oh, no, I just agree. You know, we do a lot of variety of things, you know, along with the athletic component to it. But, of course, a lot of times when dignitaries come in town or even the new president, as soon as he showed up, we are the group that's there to play. So, you know, we do as many, you know, public performances as we can as well with athletics. We just get out in the community and, you know, support, you know, our university and also just show everybody that we also support the community as well. So we're all over the place as much as we can.
You guys are very synonymous with FSU. Like every rival complains like, oh, I gotta hear that war chant one more time and everything, you know, but we can't get enough of it. Right. Like, you know, it's the coolest thing ever, whether we're at a, you know, whether we're watching an FSU game at an FSU game, watching softball or soccer, you know, on TV or just whatever, like it is really, really cool and neat to hear it. Obviously a lot of what you guys do is around athletics. How competitive is it to be a marching chief? Like how hard is it to get into that group?
Chandler, you want to take that one?
Sure. I'll start it and I'll let him be his super political guy. you know, it is a little bit to get into the program. We do have a limit or a capacity that we can have just based on travel and stuff like that. So, you know, we would love to take as many people as we can, but we do have some form of cap that we need to kind of adhere to. And because of that, there are some, you know, areas, especially in certain sections where competition can be a little bit, you know, heavy. But we have a two component aspect. We have a marching aspect to their audition. And we also have a playing aspect to their audition. And every year, everybody outside of the selective leadership pretty much auditions every year. So your first year, and if you're not selecting the leadership, then you're auditioning again for the next year as well. So, it is semi, you know, competitive to get in, but it's not, you know, not with the overall idea that we still want everybody to succeed and, you know, get the best product possible as well.
Sure.
Yeah. We have, you know, pre-COVID, we were averaging about 525 that would audition, which is, that's a lot. And, you know, our target number essentially is around 420. So, you know, pre-COVID, that 100 and, you know, maybe, you know, a little over 100, you know, we just weren't able to take. And so another thing that, you know, I think, you know, your guests will be surprised to know is, you know, 80% of the marching chiefs are non-music majors, you know, and nobody is required to be there. And I think that's something that is very, I don't know that it's unique just to us, but, you know, we don't, the history of the organization, Florida State football, everything else, just students want to come and be in the marching chiefs. And so no one is required to do it. Not even the music majors. 80% of the band roughly are non-music majors. And we don't really offer, we're not able to offer scholarships or stipends just due to the size of the band. So, you know, everybody you see out there is there voluntarily just because they love their school and they love to support the team.
Yeah, and David, my freshman year, I came for Summer C. I had the pleasure of living in Cawthorn Hall, which was the music hall at the time. And then I went to Smith Hall. Oof, that was rough, but for the fall semester. But I want to talk about 2 weeks ago, TG and I were both in Tallahassee, and phenomenal day, just from everything in the tribute to Bobby Bowden. And I love you guys spelling out Bobby. And I know, David, you were you were with the band at the time, Chandler. I'm not sure about you, but I remember my senior year, Bobby Bowden's last game at the Gator Bowl. You guys spelled it out. Mm-hmm. It was really cool to see it all come full circle. How much do you play a role in the choreography of the band? Because that's something that a lot of people don't really think about, but it brings the game day together.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Chandler and I, our colleague Patrick Dunnigan, you know, we'll all sit down and kind of map out the season. You know, what people also might not understand is, you know, there are some things that are just off limits due to copyright and permissions. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you'd think that we just can just pick a song and run with it. Mm. And you know, and you know, together being a big time arranger and composer, I mean, he knows that more than anybody. It, you know, there are things that we have to do well in advance of a halftime show. And of course, you know, when we started to hear, you know, the sad news that Coach Bowden was not doing well, we did start at least to say what do we need to have ready in the event something were to happen. And, you know, of course, you know, recreating that Bobby set. And if you saw the picture at the end of the slideshow of him and Doak watching when we did a game, you know, did a halftime dedicated to him, yeah, sitting in the press box, looking at his name spelled on the field. That's a picture I will always cherish. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, both, you know, we are, you know, we have to choreograph and charge and plan and arrange. And so everything we do is done by somebody on our staff, either Chandler, Patrick, myself. And we don't do anything that, you know, that is just kind of any band can do. It's all written just for us.
Agreed. And I'll tag on to that is, a lot of it's, you know, planning in advance. So as DP mentioned is, you know, we kind of got the idea and word that, you know, Bobby was, you know, on his, you know, last few days, we're like, well, we want to make sure that we have this ready and prepared. Cause the first show itself was a coming out the box swinging show. We're playing anything that was loud. We had the whole dance sequence and things like that. So we were ready to come out and just have a big show because of the atmosphere of the game in general. But as he mentioned, a lot of that stuff is done, you know, months in advance. So we sit down and we talk about it. We go back and forth with ideas. It's like, well, I like this. Well, no, I don't like this. And, you know, we're very honest with each other because we want the best product for the group. And we want the audience to enjoy everything that we do as well. So, as you know, as he mentioned, it's just a great team effort to put it together. But just like any team, you know, we have some moments where we have to knock each other's heads off a bit, but that's how you get the best product out of it. And that's, you know, the best part, especially working with Dr. Plack and Dr. Dunnigan as well.
Yeah, it sounds like me and TJ in our pre-production meetings. We just want to kill each other, but we somehow make it look like we like each other when we're on here. But I want to take it to the hardwood real quick, man. Like at Florida State basketball, Leonard Hamilton, phenomenal coach. Cymbal sound is such an integral part, as you mentioned, all the Olympic sports, but I truly think for the Florida State basketball team, you know, the schedule came out today. They have Syracuse on, I think, January 8th, and then Louisville. And if they win both those games, they will hold the ACC record for longest ACC home win streak in the conference history, which we joined in 92, which is ridiculous. How fun has it been to be part of Cymbal Sound during these past 5, 6, 7 years with Coach Ham? And what he's put on the court, because we don't lose in the tuck, man. We don't.
Yeah. And that, you know, to me, that's really exciting. Cause I was in the band when, you know, Charlie Ward was point guard with Bob Sura, Doug Edwards, you know, I mean, Rodney Dobard. I mean, I was there for those, you know, those first years in the ACC. And sure, when Duke came to town, you know, we would sell out the, you know, the TLC double C, and when, you know, North Carolina would, but you know, I always looked at it back then, and the multicolored seats, you all might remember that.
Yes, you know.
And the light bulb scoreboard. And, you know, the renovations that we put into basketball, I think, have been huge. But then just seeing that, you know, that now it's commonplace. That place is rocking. And I dreamt of that for many years, going way back to when, you know, like I said, I was in the band of becoming a more basketball fanatic school. And seeing that come to fruition is just incredibly exciting to me. Cause again, I agree with you. I think when you have a band like ours and you add that venue and you get that place really going, I mean, that Louisville game a couple years ago was incredible. I mean, it's yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, I know Chandler, you know, Chandler can add his thoughts, but I couldn't be more excited. I think we are a weapon. I like that we, are you know, I like that we can impact the game, because that's, you know, that's what we want to do in every venue: soccer, softball,
football, volleyball. The other night, against Florida, yeah.
Having a band there that was more like what we were used to pre-COVID, that makes a difference. I mean, Tully might not be the, you know, the most you know, modern facility, but when you pack that place and you get the band in there, I mean, that's a hard place to play. You know,
yeah, and I want to throw this to Chandler, but David, to your point, I'm a huge basketball guy. I said it, but that Louisville game you mentioned, when Trent Forrest dunked on Jordan Nora, we had Trent Forrest on the podcast last October, November, and just hearing him give his account was Like, I was a fanboy. I was like, you know, my wife when the Backstreet Boys are in town or something. It was just ridiculous. I loved it. Chandler, same question, man. Not just football, because obviously everybody knows about Pachisi football, but these other sports, TJ mentioned it. We beat number 14 Florida in volleyball this week, and the band, I think, played a role in that.
Yeah, you know, being able to control the atmosphere, that's one of the craziest parts about this job, is you are basically the soundtrack of the game. And, you know, a lot of times, especially with Seminole Sound, where it's either men's or women's basketball, volleyball, you know, when you kind of stand up on the box, and a lot of times I'll look up into the crowd. I say, okay, I see we got about a good set of 25-year-olds. Here's a playlist we're going to do today. And because of that, you know how to get the house moving. You want to move and get the energy and stuff going as well. And that is just super insane. And, you know, I think about, for me, my biggest game here so far, I got my doctorate here at Florida State, was when we played Zion, when they came in town. Oh. And it was just like, oh, okay, anything we can do to get on your nerves is going to be, you know, yeah, the excitement. But, you know, when, you know, just knowing what to call and, you know, being able to control that is insane. So whether it's basketball, volleyball, kind of like you mentioned, just anything that deals with sports, you know, being able to shift that energy when we need to, and then when it happens, keeping that drive going, keeping it going and keeping it going is really fantastic, because the team drives off of it, the crowd drives off of it, and that sense is really one of the most exciting parts about the job too.
And he's right. Yeah.
Oh, well, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, he's exactly right. I mean, that's the great part about college bands in general, you know, college sports, college basketball, college football are the bands. I mean, you know, I wish Notre Dame could have brought their band 2 weeks ago, just if nothing else, to hear the Notre Dame fight song. I mean, it's, you know, it's a historic fight song, and, but that's, you know, we are the soundtrack, like you said, to Florida State football, Florida State basketball, and the other sports. And that's, you know, that's really a cool thing for us. I mean, I know I will never, that will never, ever tire on me. I mean, especially as an alum, you know, when we can impact the game and really swing momentum, that's really a cool feeling for us and our students, no question.
Chandler, you broke my heart a little bit, man, talking about that Zion game, because I remember Cam Reddish hit that shot at the buzzer to win. But as I mentioned earlier, we've won 24 straight since then in conference at home. I think y'all play a big role in that. TJ, go ahead.
I totally lost where I was. Okay. All right. I don't want to get you guys in trouble, but I'm going to try here for in a second. My season tickets, I've graduated from being a newlywed. And so my season tickets are a little bit in a little bit different spot right now, I'll just say, but they used to be right beside you guys in 119. You guys have moved since then too. So we're both just moving on up, but you guys are, and I don't know who designates this or who makes this call, but you were talking about opposing bands. Florida State is so much more generous than any other school that I've ever been to in where the opposing band sits. Yeah. Like the opposing band has a great seat, and we go to like UF and we're, you know, like talking to God upstairs, and then we go to Miami and same thing, right? Like touching the clouds. What, you know, so what, who decides that, and why are you guys so nice?
Well, they, you know, they actually, you know, fans might not know this, but every school has to seat their band within their ticket allotment. Okay. So that can be, so really we have no control over where the visiting team's bands sit, because it basically, wherever their allotment of tickets
in that wedge.
Yeah. In that wedge, that has to come out of their ticket allotment. It does not come out of any Florida State seats. So it comes out of their seats that they're given for every game. And yeah, I mean, you're right. When we go to Miami, you know, because they only give Florida State a couple hundred in the lower bowl and the rest are up there, we have no choice but to sit up there. So it's not that they're doing it intentionally, but, you know, and so, yeah, when we go to, you know, when we go to Clemson, other places, we are all, you know, we're always sitting like this because, you know, every seat is really coming out of our visiting allotment. And, So it's, you know, it's different. And the move to the other end zone this year has, it's been challenging. I, you know, we like it. There's a lot to like about it. We have to work. There's still some things that we're going to have to work on and work through if it's going to be a permanent change. But we like being down there. We just through the first two games, there's been some challenges. So we'll have to see how we can tweak it.
I know that sometimes with road travel and different things that gets brought up, we see different things on the timeline on Twitter. I've followed Dave forever. And he used to actually come by our tailgate, on the way into the stadium and stuff. But you see things on the timeline from time to time about, road travel and wanting to get kids to games. We work with the Boosters a lot. We work with FSU, similar experience and stuff. Like, how can people support you guys? Like, how can they kind of like support what you guys do? Whether that be road travel, whether that be just whatever, like how can people support the Chiefs?
Dr. Wilson, you want to take that or?
I'll start from the visual aspect is what we're going to do better at this year and in the last couple of years, just kind of getting our social media game up and running and getting it out and being very consistent with that. So, we do travel so people know where we are, where we're going to rehearse, what time we're going to get to the stadium, because it's really, important to see us when we get there. So whether, somebody coming by and just watching us rehearse or having our fans there as soon as we get off the bus, getting ready to go into the stadium or even knowing what area we're sitting in at the stadium so you can sit next to the band as well. We're going to do our best to get that information out, in advance. So, we can have our own little party wherever we go as well. So that's one way I think, that'd be a great support just visually a bit.
Yeah. And from from another standpoint for us, we would love, we would love to have a band rep. Let's also share that. Am I there? Yeah, there we go. But yeah, we would love to have a rep, have the war chant, blaring at every game on the road. And I know, athletics and Coach Norvell and football probably share that sentiment, but that's a point we have to work towards. And we do have a travel fund through the FSU Foundation. We have an instrument fund to help us, and so there are ways to give as you would to Florida State and earmark it for certain things designed for Marching Chiefs. But, that would be our goal years down the road is to have, it's hard to do this, and every time I see that when the band's not there, arms go in different ways and this.
Nobody can keep beat.
Nobody can keep beat. It's just a hot mess. But, yeah.
You think that's bad? Go to a Braves game.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome. I go to a Braves game and I hear us and I'm like, this, it's kind of a surreal thing. Cause I'm like, that's us.
Yeah, but, Kansas City.
And yeah, same thing, but that shows you the reach of that war chant. I mean, it is, I know you said, you hear fans. I mean, we know that visiting fans, just hate it. They hate it. I mean, we always see the Florida State. Do you practice any other songs or, you only know one song. And of course that's not the case, but it just shows that it works because
it's
that's
so, yeah,
it just comes in your ear and it just stays there.
It's so recognizable, right? Yeah. Like, and the fan, you guys talked about this, but like, and that's why I want to ask you that about ways to potentially support, because like, I don't know, like every one of us has the album on our iTunes, right? Like everybody plays Seminole Uprising on the way up to Tallahassee. Like we played it at the tailgate the other day when we were out there, you guys get out there before the Legacy Walk and you guys are playing and stuff. And people are going nuts on that Legacy Walk before that Notre Dame game. And so just like, I don't know, it's just so absolutely recognizable. So like people get so passionate with it. I mean, look at me, I'm getting all tongue tied just talking about it, but yeah. Like, I mean, I just think that, like you said, like our band, you guys do so much and, it's cool to kind of hear some of the stories behind it and stuff. Richie, I cut you off. I know you were going to go there, but.
Yeah, no. So I just have one last question for you, David. I me and Mark Ziegler, I'm pretty close with him. He was my favorite professor at Florida State. And I saw you were in Jacksonville last weekend. Yeah. And I look over your right shoulder. You got the Green Bay Packers thing.
Yeah.
But how cool was it? I know it sucked being a Packers fan, but how cool is it to see Jameis have that game while you were there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the ultimate goal, when I, especially going after, you know, heading over there after Saturday night, you know, it there was no question. I was looking forward to a much better day on Sunday. And, but my you know, my ultimate outcome, I was hoping that Jameis would play really well and look great, but then the Packers would win. And, of course, Jameis, you know, Jameis looked like Rodgers. Rodgers looked like maybe Jameis, you know, a year or two ago. And so I know, of course, I root, you know, I root for Dalvin Cook, even though he's a Viking, and I root for, you know, Jameis. I mean, I want to see Knowles do well. But, you know, I didn't expect the Packers to look quite as inept as they did. And I'm looking forward to what they do tomorrow on Monday Night Football, because they have to look somewhat better.
Big game.
Yeah, that's a big one tomorrow.
The Lions, maybe. Right? Yeah.
The Lions, yep. That's at home in Lambeau. And, you know, if you
got to win that one.
Right? Jerry Goff threw for 400 yards last week. I don't know.
Got to win that one.
Green Bay's 11.5-point favorites. I like the Packers in this one.
You got to win that one. I mean, you know, and I would expect Rodgers and company to look really a lot better. And, you know, they've never played well in Florida. Yeah, I don't know if it's if it's just the heat and humidity or what it is, but their record in Florida is never been great. And it's a little odd, but
Jameis has never lost a game in the state of Florida north of I-4. So or north of Orlando, sorry. North of Tampa, he's never lost a game in the state of Florida. So it was kind of like, you guys were kind of like walking into a trap. It just is what it is.
I kind of felt that. And again, just coming off a Saturday night.
Oh, man. I feel so bad for you.
You went from Jacksonville State to that? Oh, my God.
Mark went over with me. And, you know, I was just, you know, I need this. God, I need this. And then it was the worst. It wasn't even an entertaining game. I mean, it was just, the only thing that was great is we had shade. That was it.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that was great about that game, other than Jameis playing well, you know.
That means a lot in Florida when you're in these September games, because I have Bucs season tickets, and I won't go to a game until November. Like, I'll sell them all. I have no desire to go to any football game outside of the Florida State-Notre Dame game, which I'm glad I went to.
Yeah, I went to the Packers-Jags a couple years ago, and I sat in the 400 upper deck, and it was – it was in September. It was the hottest. I can't recall ever going to a hotter game. Maybe the 1989 Southern Miss Brett Favre game in Jacksonville that we lost. And so I have friends that just kind of know that stadium, and they said, hey, you want to be in this section 204, because that's on the right side, and you'll have, you know, and the 4 o'clock kickoff helped, but that was the only thing, you know, even worth the trip over was the shade.
I saw Madso tweeted that Saturday is a high of 82, a low of 63 in Tallahassee. So I know it's hot with all that band stuff on for those kids anyway, but
it is.
It's better at 82 than it is at 102.
Yes.
Yeah. Chandler can tell you, you know, Chandler marched just across town in the March of 100 as an undergrad. And, you know, and so he's worn a band uniform in Florida.
It is.
You know how rough it is.
I did. Well, I'm from Miami too, so it's like.
Oh, yeah. So David, I remember. I don't know. I think it was 2008. It's my sophomore year at Florida State. We had a blackout. No, it was my freshman year, 2006. We had a blackout against Boston College, where they gave us all these free black T-shirts, and I feel like a wuss now complaining about having to wear a black shirt for a 3:30 game against Boston College. Knowing what your people, the Marching Chiefs and the Marching 100 over at FAMU, they have to wear that whole garb for every game and march during halftime. So nothing but respect for any band members, Florida State, FAMU, anyone. Nothing but respect for y'all.
For some reason, the technology of band uniforms has just not modernized. It's still like 25-pound polyester. You know, it is in Florida. Now, there was a game, you know, 2 years ago, you know, we played Boise at that noon game, and it was brutal. And then the next
we don't week, talk about that game on here.
Well, I know. That's a good point. I should not even mention that. But then we, you know, the next week we had a heat advisor, and we put the band in shorts and T-shirts at that point, just from a safety So there is a point where we have to, you know, be safe and take student well-being, because those, you know, when you have heat index that reaches 100 and you add those uniforms and what mm-hmm. they do pregame, you know, it's not uncommon for several band members to need some assistance, you know, from our staff, or even, you know, some paramedics and stuff, just to make sure they're okay.
Yeah. Crazy. The uniforms get quite heavy. The sweat sits in it. So like, it's heavier by the end of pregame than it was before.
We need Nike to work on a dry fit material. Like, let's go. What are we doing? Nike, they're probably watching this. So like, it's fine. Yeah. Like, they're probably tuning in.
Yeah.
Get them on that stat. David Chandler, thank you guys so much for hanging out for a few minutes tonight. We really appreciate your time. Appreciate you guys doing this on short notice. A lot of passion in the fan base. Whether people were Chiefs, whether their parents were Chiefs, whether they are like legacy Chiefs, right? Like they were Chiefs as were their parents. There's a lot of passion for the marching Chiefs, for the pep bands, for the different things that happen. And we really, really appreciate what you guys do, as well as your time tonight. And you're welcome to come hang out with us anytime, man. If you get free moments between the work, because I know it's a lot that you guys do.
We got it. Yeah, we definitely have to. We have to see if we can get a live band, you know, a house band on or something. But I would just
let's go. Yeah,
right. I'm here for it.
You know, I would just urge everybody. And I heard, you know, before we came on, you know, you all were saying. I would just hope, you know, I guarantee you, our students are gonna, you know, I mentioned at the start, they're gonna keep beating the drum. That war chant is kind of symbolic for us, because it's incessant. It doesn't stop no matter what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of has to be, you know, our mindset as fans is we have to keep supporting no matter what. And I'm hoping, you know, I mean, it's not gonna turn around if we all retreat. And so, you know, I know Chandler shares this as well. We're gonna be there on Saturday. Our students are gonna cheer and, you know, play their hearts out. And, you know, we're just hoping that, you know, a good number of true Seminoles are going to follow us and get this team on the right track. So
absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And that was really kind of where we were probably going to go to end the episode, is like, yeah, we're frustrated. Yeah. We don't like how yesterday felt. We certainly don't like how last Saturday felt, but, withdrawing support does not further the cause, right? You know, and yeah. So that's what it is at the end of the day, is no, it stinks right now. We get it. There's no sugarcoating that. But saying I'm just gonna go fish on Saturdays is not the answer either. So so you're spot on there. If for nothing else, I mean, go hear the Chiefs, you know?
Yeah,
like right. they sound as good as they did in 2013. So there's that.
Live and in effect. We will be there.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen, for hanging out. We appreciate your time.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Take care.
Of course. Take care. David Plack and Chandler Wilson, appreciate their time. Appreciate them coming on. Good to chat a little bit of FSU band with them. We had been wanting to do that for a minute. And then Richie and I were texting today, and we were just like, man, I don't know what to say about this loss. So we figured out a couple.
After talking to them.
I really did too, man. Like, I feel, man, I just need to start calling David on Sunday night or Saturday nights when I'm depressed after an FSU game. So, all right. So, yeah, that's the other. That's where it kind of goes from here. So, we play Louisville this weekend. We'll talk about a couple other things when we get out of here, but play Louisville this weekend. As we said, Louisville opened up as a 1-point favorite. I don't really know what the line movement has been on that just yet. Could be a couple of points different. I'm really not sure. Florida State, Louisville is not as good as Wake Forest. And Florida State, I think by cleaning up a couple of mistakes, Florida State loses that game to Wake Forest by 10. Florida State would have lost that game to Wake Forest by 10. We'd feel a lot better about this Louisville game coming up. At the end of the day, Florida State didn't lose that game by 10, right? They lost by 3 touchdowns. Yeah. So that's the concern. Florida State plays anywhere close to how they played opening night, or anywhere close to how they played in the second and third quarters against Jacksonville State, they'll probably be in it late again against Wake Forest, and then we'll kind of see what happens from there. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed, but it'd be really, really nice to get a win going into that Syracuse game, who Syracuse is worse than Wake Forest. FSU should beat Syracuse.
Should.
Let's not jump 2 weeks ahead, but be really nice to get a win against Louisville. We will break that down on Thursday. Man, I was before the season, I was looking forward to having Mark back on. We had Mark Enos last night from the Louisville 247 affiliate, and I bet him a bottle of bourbon last year and lost that bet. I was excited to have him on and bet him another bottle of bourbon. Now I don't want to bet again because of how bad FSU is. I probably still will, but
TJ, Louisville is now 2.5-point favorites.
I told you it'd go that way. It shocks me that it opened up that low. I mean, that could be Vegas kind of betting on Florida State to kind of come back. Everybody puts the money on Louisville, and Florida State does end up playing better. And that's the big thing that's been shocking is, you know, Notre Dame is certainly overrated. They did cover the spread this weekend against Purdue, but Notre Dame is probably overrated, and that's going to get found out when they play the next three opponents, which are all ranked right now. But Notre Dame is better than our last two opponents. And so Notre Dame being overrated does not excuse the way that we've played the last 2 weeks. And so what happened? Where was it? Just because it was Bobby Knight? Was it just because it was a full stadium? Was it just because it was Labor Day Sunday night? Like, what happened from that Sunday night until now? Like, that's just what I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that was a very special night in Tallahassee, and Florida State capitalized on that. But again, Jacksonville State, I don't think we prepared for that week. And coming to Wake Forest, again, I have to point to Mike Norvell. Like, say what you want. Adam Fuller is on the hot seat nonstop for Florida State fans. And after last season, I understand why, but he's not been bad this year. The defense has been okay. The defense has been good enough for Florida State to be 3-0 right now. The offense has not been there. And I think it's Mike Norvell. The first game, you throw that away, right? It is what it is. The second game, he was looking ahead. The third game, Wake Forest, he didn't know what he wanted to do. Like, he announced McKenzie Milton as a starter and then went to Travis to Milton. Pick a quarterback at this point. For me personally, just pick one and ride with him and see if you can win football games. You tweeted it out from the podcast account, TJ. I'm pretty sure it was you who tweeted it out, but Travis Hunter's about all we got going for us right now, and we need this guy committed and to stay in this boat.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Florida State can find a way to get these next two wins, beat UMass, and then upset somebody else to get to 4-8. Like, that to me, that is the I think 4-8, as bad as that is, 4-8 to starting out 0-3, 4-8 is a successful season. You know, not a successful season, but from where we are now, you know, 4-8 is about the – maybe a ceiling is probably the better way to say it. Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to Norvell. I mean, I will say, not to give him any kind of – you know, at the end of the day, you got the players you got and you roll with it, right? Like, Mullen found a way to get Emory to play well against freaking Alabama, right? So, you know, let's go, you know. So, you know, I just don't know – you know, the old adage is you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. And at the end of the day, I think that's where Florida State's at. I don't think that he has confidence in either quarterback, and that's why he's so quick to run back and forth with this one or that one. And I don't know. You can't tell me that if we don't play McKenzie Milton the entire game yesterday, we lose by any more, or if we don't play Jordan Travis the entire game. Now, again, when Jordan Travis got hurt and then he put Milton, like, that's fine. That's different. But you can't tell me that if Milton plays a whole game, we score two touchdowns. You know, so it's just all the same. You got to pick one and roll.
Mike Norvell's on the hot seat. Like, he's now coached 12 games. He's 3-9. Again, I don't think Mike Norvell will be fired at the end of the season, and some fans may want him to be. I don't see that as a remote possibility. We're looking at next year, and for this year, all I care about is this recruiting class, because Mike Norvell has a lot of difference makers committed to him right now. If he can sign them, he can turn this thing around. Yeah. You've got to sign these kids, though.
You got to sign the offensive line commits. You've got to sign Duffy. You've got to sign Hunter. McCall is going to be a tough one. I don't know that he has the same passion that Hunter has to stay committed. Maybe, you know, obviously be great. Yeah. But, I mean, I think you're looking at a three-win team. You know, I think they beat Syracuse. I think they beat UMass. And I think they find a win somewhere else. Yeah. I have no idea where it is. They probably just play up one game and get the win, like against the BC or NC State.
Or just beat Miami, and that'll just piss us off even more. Because that point, like, well, what are Miami's we doing just here?
Yeah, Miami's freaking terrible too. Like, if you watch that game, I don't know if you watch that game at noon against Michigan State.
They're awful. Was really bad. Yeah,
we've just got to run. I mean, that's the thing. If Corbin cannot just not fumble, know, like, we just got to run Corbin for 160 yards and four touchdowns. But anyway, you talked about basketball a little bit with Dave, and then we talked about on Thursday as well. They're going for that record. He's not that far away. So excited for
52 days until Florida State tips it off. I cannot wait. I'm not counting down days, but I am counting down days.
I thought it was closer than that. So 52 days is a long time. I'm old and I just can't.
It sounds long until you realize you have to watch like seven more Florida State football games until that happens.
So quick recap around FSU world, and then we'll get out of here. Volleyball, we talked about this a little bit on Thursday, but volleyball got a massive win against the Gators in four sets in a night that they honored Brianna Berry. Cross country's Adrian Wilshut wins the Open that happened on Friday morning at the Appalachian Regional Parkway, which was big. The men's and women's teams both finished, I believe, top three, but Florida State did get the win with Adrian there. Soccer continues their impressive streak. They're now they remain undefeated on the season. They beat Boston College 4-1 on Saturday night. Obviously, football took their loss on the road. Golf, not the best outing, but golf competed this weekend in the Fighting Illini Invitational. Long season. Again, not the best outing for them, but a good week overall for FSU athletics, especially with soccer and volleyball and cross country, just kind of like dominating things. So good stuff there. More and more sports are picking up. Tennis plays. Yeah. Jen and them play in a couple weeks. I'm excited for that.
We got Dick Allen. Let's
go. Yeah. Volleyball is crushing it right now. And so, and soccer – our soccer team is probably the best team in the entire country, regardless of sport. Like, Alabama showed some cracks in the armor this weekend. I don't think Alabama is as good as they have been in the past. I think they'll continue to get better, and they'll probably win another national title. But they're just not like the team they were last year. And so I think our soccer team is the best team in the entire country. Like,
they probably Pat, like at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
At this point right now, they definitely are. We'll see what happens as the weeks come, but they definitely are right now.
So get out and support FSU soccer if you are in Tallahassee or around there. They're freaking incredible. Again, volleyball as well. Upset number 14, UF on a special night in Tallahassee for Brianna Berry. Very cool there as well. Shout out Harlan, who got married yesterday. Didn't have to watch. Yeah. Not for getting married. For not having to watch the FSU game like we all did. Shout out Harlan and shout out Nick Saban. I talked a lot of smack about Alabama winning this weekend. Thank you so much for making that dream a reality so that I didn't have to have more tweets revisited. Any shout outs, Richie, before we get out of here?
No, it's just shout out to Harlan. Again, another shout out to Brooks and Daniel Berger. Ryder Cup this week. I'm really excited. Check out the Par 4 podcast. But no, shout out my wife. She was really nervous during that Alabama-Florida game last night, which I was as well. I felt this is how bad Florida State is right now. I was more invested in the Florida-Alabama game than I was in the Florida State-Wake Forest game. But glad she got her win, so I'm good from there.
Double fries, no slaw. Again, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate you guys for hanging out tonight. We may be back with a pop-up episode again this week. I know we're giving you guys too much content. And you're asking us to stop, but we will just keep putting it out for you guys. Win, lose, or draw, rain or shine, we are here to give you guys the content. Hunter, be quiet. Hopefully we beat you guys later for saying that Florida's good. I don't even know when the pop-up episode will be, but I'm working with FSU on when that might happen. So I'll let you guys know. You'll see it pop up live in your feed, and that'll be good enough. So until next time, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out. Go Noles.